the tabernacle, this plan that Brother Mangan shared with his church, and how it revolutionized his personal prayer life, and then how it is empowering others who would pray through that tabernacle plan as well. Let's look at the tabernacle for a moment before we look at our text in Exodus chapter 30. Here, the tabernacle that was made according to the pattern. And Moses was instructed, be sure that you make it according to the pattern. He could not deviate. He could not come up with his own design, his own plan. He could not improvise. It had to be done according to the pattern. Praise God. And thank the Lord, that's what we find in the church today. There's a pattern. I shared with somebody earlier in the week. There's a pattern that we see in the Word of God, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. And it's there in chapter 2, chapter 10, chapter 19 specifically. And chapter 8, it is very heavily implied because Simon was willing to part with some of his money that he deceptively earned. I don't know if it was hard-earned. It was deceptively earned. He was willing to part with the money to have power, and whoever he laid his hands on, they received the Holy Ghost. He must have seen something supernatural. And what he saw, speaking in tongues. Amen. That's the pattern. So, we know how essential that pattern is. And here we see the tabernacle with its outer court containing the altar that we touched on last week, and how that it represents repentance, it represents death, it represents change. And thank God that the Lord would bring those works into our lives, that we are not the same person. Praise God. We're not what we used to be. Thank the Lord. We are making progress to what we should be. Thank God we're not what we used to be because of death. And naturally, the blood being applied as well. And what incredible elements of the power of God that are displayed in that. The next item, it's a little bit smaller there, but before the holy place, there is a laver. And there are some of the priests who are gathered around that. And that's what we're going to be working with tonight, the laver. Exodus 30 and verse 18. Exodus 30 and 18. You can remain seated. We're just going to move right into our lesson here tonight and try to maximize our time with this important aspect. Exodus 30 and 18. Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. Verse 20, when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not. That's pretty emphatic. You don't want to die, you better wash. And when they come near to the altar to minister to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet that they die not. Here it is again. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. So now, we recognize as we are praying into this area and into the tabernacle, we know we're not doing it like the Israelites did. We know there's not a literal animal. There's not literal blood. There's not literal water that we wash. Well, there is literal water when we wash when we're baptized in Jesus' name. And certainly there's an application here as well. But when we approach the laver, because in Exodus 38 and 8, it tells us it was made of the women's looking glasses. Now, they didn't have glass with a black surface behind it that would show a reflection. They used polished brass. And that's what they used then to make this laver. The ladies contributed all of this material so that the brazen laver could be made. So, it showed your reflection when you approached. Moreover, there was water in that laver. Water also would show your reflection, show your image. Now, this is not talking about the Greek mythology character of Narcissus, who saw his reflection in the pool and fell in love with it. We're not talking about that kind of a problem. We're talking about seeing our reflection in the sense that James said, a man looks in the mirror, he sees what manner of man he is. In other words, he recognizes, I've got to wash, I've got to change, I've got to shave, I've got to do these various things. Turns away from the mirror and completely forgets the alteration, the changes, the cleaning that he needs to make. No, that's not the kind of look that we are to take into the Word of God. And so James goes on to declare, don't be hearers only of the Word, be doers of the Word. Amen. And you look into the perfect law of liberty. And he said, when you recognize there are areas to change, take care of it. Amen. Now, water is a pretty dominant element, mineral, what is it? Whatever it is, something on the face of the earth. How much of the surface of the earth is covered by water? It's about 75%. Yeah. How much of your body is liquid? Quite a bit. Now, that demonstrates, just those two illustrations demonstrate how essential water is. When astronomers are looking at other planets in our galaxy, or our solar system rather, and beyond in our galaxy and in others, and it's amazing how they can identify such small objects orbiting other stars like ours do. They are looking for one particular thing once they identify what to them appears to be a planet. And that one thing is water, evidence of water, because they know life cannot exist without water. Therefore, when God tells us about washing, we know how essential that aspect of water is. Furthermore, when he talks about the Spirit being like rain, the Spirit being like a well, the Spirit being like a river, we understand it's the aspect of life that he's trying to get across to us. And thank the Lord that we are able to take the next step in the tabernacle plan, moving closer to the powerful presence of God in the Ark of the Covenant, and we are then cleansed or washed. We follow his plan. Thank God there's always more that God would say, take the next step, come closer, draw closer to me, I've got more for you. Praise God. Draw nigh to God, Peter said, and the Lord will draw nigh to you. And what a powerful arrangement that we enter into in our seeking the Lord and desiring his presence. There's always more that is available. Praise God. But it's a daunting thing to read in the Word of God, you better wash or you're going to die. That's pretty final. That's pretty. And as far as I know, nobody skipped that step. Nobody took a chance. We know Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire, and fire came from the Lord and destroyed them. That's an amazing part of Leviticus. When you're reading through bread, you desperately look for those passages that you're familiar with, and you're reading through all of the sacrifices and all of the various laws and regulations and so on, and finally you come to something that you recognize, oh, praise God, here's the outpouring of God's fire. And in chapter 9, it was a blessing. In chapter 10, it was a blast. So not a good blast. It was a blast of judgment. So we understand God's word is going to come to pass. And so, obviously, the necessity of washing is so important here. And thank God that we can follow through on the word of the Lord. Aaron and his sons did not skip this step throughout their generations. They were commanded, make sure you follow through. That's exactly what they did. And fire from the altar and water in the laver is all indicative of the cleansing that God can do. So in our prayer time and our praying through the tabernacle, we've asked God, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, please change me. Lord, burn up in my life what is not pleasing to you. Lord, kill in my life the attitudes and the wrongdoing and the thinking that is going to take me away from you. But bring me to that place where I will be pleasing to you. Let your blood be applied to me so that I can be cleansed. Amen. And that's what happens at this point. David prayed twice in Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a significant prayer of repentance. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Uriah lies dead in a grave. I mean, the thing just went from bad to worse. It just snowballed on King David before perhaps he even realized how drastic the steps had become. And so Nathan has come to him and shared the parable about the man who had company, and he's a rich man, he's got many flocks, but instead of preparing a lamb from his huge gathering of sheep, he went to a poor man in the village, took the one ewe lamb that he had, and prepared then for his company. David became incensed. He thought, how terrible, that's awful. That man is going to repay four times. And he just gets all upset about the whole situation. And Nathan says, it's you. You're the one that did that. And Psalm 51 is the result of that confrontation and his desire for the washing of God in his life. So Psalm 51 in verse 2, David prays, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. That was his prayer. That was his heartfelt prayer. He's desiring, God, I need you to clean me up. I'm a mess. I've made a mess of things. And we know Bathsheba's pregnancy, she delivered, but the child died. And it just went from bad to worse. Because the scripture lets us know that what you sow, you're going to reap. And be sure your sins will find you out. And all of this that we understand is so important. How much better to just come to the Lord and say, God, I've messed up terribly. Please cleanse me. Please wash me. In verse 7, he continues with his prayer for a washing. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Praise God. And he continues on as he calls on the Creator. And notice the powerful verbs here that he uses. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence. Thank God the Lord can cast away that shame. We sang about, I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. I'm trading my pain and my sickness. Thank God the Lord can cast those things away. But please, Lord, don't cast me away from your presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Thank God he can take our guilt. He can take our shame and all of those things. He can take our sin. But Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Praise God. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Praise God. Create, renew, cast, take, restore, uphold. He's looking at an active God who can move and provide in your life. And this is what we do when we come to the laver, just like David. Oh, God, cleanse me. Oh, God, take away this stain and this wrong and the ruin that sin has brought in my life. Cleanse me, Lord. Amen. And that prayer for washing is what we're doing when we appear before the laver. Revelation 1 and 5, John is declaring the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he makes a powerful statement here in verse 5. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Praise God. I'm thankful that the blood of Jesus can bring a cleansing. Amen. Now, what happens when you get blood on your t-shirt? Get blood on your jeans, something. It's a stain, isn't it? Your mom has got to go through all kinds of extra steps to try to get that out. And Physahex. What in the world? Hydrogen peroxide. There we go. Kind of bubble that stuff out of there. All of the different ways that you've got to try to get it out. But when the Lord washes you with his blood, praise God, there's a cleansing. Amen. So that's what we're doing. We're saying, God, I need you to wash me. There are things that only your blood can take care of. The psychiatrist can't take care of it. The counselor can't take care of it. The doctor can't take care of it. Oh, God, I need you. Amen. Amen. And we're not just going through the motions. They kind of went through the motions here. Well, I think I would do more than go through the motions. If I didn't wash, I would die. I think I'd really get with it here. Amen. No wonder. Peter, when the Lord was washing their feet, and Peter said, oh, you're not going to wash my feet. And the Lord saying, if I don't wash you, you don't have a part of me. Well, then, Lord, wash me. Wash in my hands, my feet, wash my head, everything, Lord. Amen. Get with it. And so this man, this priest, would understand how essential this aspect of washing is. Thank God we can be washed. Now, what did Pilate do? When he was trying to declare his innocence. Here's your king. What do you want me to do with him? They cry out, crucify him. You want me to crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar. He knows he's stuck. So, what does he do? Over to the basin, washes his hands. I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Are you really? No. He went through the motions. He made the effort. He took the step. And actually, as you're reading Leviticus, there's a verse of scripture that says, do this. And maybe he was mocking the Hebrew religion a little bit. He's saying, I've seen you wash your hands, I'm going to wash my hands. And but we know. And maybe some of Pilate's descendants, maybe not Pilate, maybe not Mrs. Pilate. She's still tossing and turning and suffering things in a dream that she had about the Lord. But maybe some of his descendants would be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Wouldn't that have been incredible? Amen. The Bible talks about those who were of Caesar's household in Philippians. Paul says, they greet you, them who are of Caesar's household. Right in the palace, there are people who are Jesus' name and Holy Ghost filled. Praise God. Oh, our God has victory planned for his church. Hallelujah. Thank God that they'd be washed. Amen. We are blessed to be washed in the blood of Jesus. Acts 20 and 28 says, he purchased the church with his own blood, his own blood. Hebrews 9 and 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Say that with me. His own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So he's using, the writer here is using the tabernacle plan to talk about the Lord entering in with his blood and paying the price of redemption for us. But thank God, his own blood brings the sanctification. Amen. And we are washed from sin by his own blood. Amen. So the benefits of the blood. Let me make reference here. Well, we'll go ahead and take the time to read each of these passages rather than just name the reference and the effect, because it's powerful. And you keep in mind, the devil hates this aspect of the blood of Jesus. He wants it buried. He wants it pushed aside. He wants it to be something relegated to an old-fashioned, outdated religion, and mocks it, calling it those who sing about the blood, a slaughterhouse religion, and all of this sort of thing. But the reason he would fight the blood of Jesus so much is because he has no way to defeat it. Amen. So when we plead the blood, amen, a Pentecostal phrase there. When we plead the blood, thank God, we have something powerful that the devil cannot defeat or penetrate. When we plead the blood over our loved ones and our relatives and those who are sick and so on, amen, I'm thankful that we are calling upon something in the realm of God that has no equal. Amen. So, Matthew 26, 28. I'll just name these and read them and then mention the benefit that we want to emphasize. For this is my blood, Jesus said, of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The remission of sins, the benefit. Romans 5 and 9. I'll probably go through these fairly fast, but Sister Bartlett's really fast too. She'll probably have them on the screen by the time we get there. Much more then, thank God there's much more that the Lord would give to us, Romans 5, 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. That's the benefit. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Praise God. We couldn't be justified by our own actions. We couldn't be justified by our own goodness. Certainly not our own righteousness. It's nothing but filthy rags. But we're justified by his blood. Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Praise God. Redemption. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And that's the exciting thing, to be able to discover those riches and know that the blessing of his grace continues in every aspect of our lives. But we have redemption through his blood. Amen. Hebrews 9 and 14. We mentioned earlier from verse 12 of Hebrews 9 about his own blood. But here now in Hebrews 9 and 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. That's quite a contrast. Dead works, the living God. Which one are you going to choose? We choose the living God. But we can't make it without his blood. And thank God, he purges our conscience so that we can make that transition, find that salvation, move into that realm that God has for us. Amen. 1 Peter 1 and 18, also verse 19, Peter is again mentioning this aspect of redemption. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's what redeemed us. The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Praise God. Thank the Lord that his blood brings these tremendous benefits, that we can know the power that he would make of in effect in our lives. All right, 1 John 1 and 7. 1 John 1 and 7, we look at many times because of light, but thank the Lord there's also this aspect of cleansing. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, wow. From all sin. David made his prayer to be cleansed from adultery. He made his prayer to be cleansed from the blood of murder. And this aspect there just gripped him. It was horrible. But thank God the Lord can not only cleanse from those situations, but from all sin, regardless of what it is. And certainly in our 21st century, there's a huge variety of sin that the devil is constantly trying to push. The media is constantly trying to expose you to. And all of these aspects of that are hammering us today, thank God we can be cleansed from all sin and know the power of the Lord. Revelation 7 and 14, the last one here that I'll include in these benefits of the blood, a list from these passages of Scripture. Revelation 7, 14. These are they which have come out of great tribulation. We used to quote this, Brother Angeli, when getting out of Bible school. Amen. We've come out of great tribulation. We've washed our robes, praise God, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There's that washing. Amen. Thank God that the washing is there. In the power of the blood. We can know, we can live, we can rejoice in the power of the blood. Praise God. And don't let the devil belittle that point. Don't let the devil cause you to ignore it. Don't let the devil bring a shadow or drop a shade on that truth. He has washed us from our sins and he will keep us from our sins. Praise God. Any sin, any sinner, can be cleansed by his blood. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the washing of his blood. Now, there's another element of washing. And Ephesians 5 is where we're going to go to touch on this aspect. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And he challenges every husband to love his wife in the same manner. Giving yourself for your wife. That deals with selfish aspects. Selfishness is something that a child will demonstrate even before a terrible twos. Learn to speak, and mine is one of those words. And it's just a part of our nature. But the Lord said to love with this selflessness, just like he loved the church and gave himself for it. His blood was shed. Amen. And then Ephesians 5:26. That's an important passage. We'll wait for a moment here to have that one put on the screen. Ephesians 5:26. Because it deals with this aspect that is so important. The Lord loved his church. The Lord gave himself for the church. The Lord gave his name to the church. The Lord gave his spirit to the church. And he wants to wash it with the washing of the water by the word. Praise God. And that word now is a cleansing and powerful effect. He'll sanctify it and cleanse it, that verse says. No spot or wrinkle will be in evidence or any such thing. That's quite a cleansing, isn't it? That's very much a thorough job that the Word can do in your life. It will be holy and without blemish. That's that any sin. Any sin, praise God, he'll cleanse us. All sin, he'll cleanse us. And the result? A glorious church. Praise God. That's what he's coming for. A glorious church. Praise God. Thank the Lord that we can be a part of what he has claimed and he has paid for and desires to wash his church with water by the word. Amen. Praise God. It's amazing how, as an adult, it feels so good to stand by the sink, get that hot water going, put the washcloth under it, and get it nice and hot and wring it out a little bit and just wipe it all over your face. But a two-year-old makes all kinds of faces, all kinds of squirming, maybe even 15-year-olds. And hopefully you're using a washcloth on your own face. You not have to stand there and your mom do it for you. But I hope it's the washing of water by the word is something that's pleasant, something we enjoy, something we desire. Not something we endure and squirm and make all kinds of faces like an immature child. Amen. Make sure that washing is taking place. Now, Psalm 119, verse 9. This cleansing is again emphasized in the interaction that God wants us to have with Him. Here's how the Amplified reads for Psalm 119:9. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed and keeping watch on himself according to your word and conforming his life to it. Praise God. So that aspect of letting my life be changed by the word of the Lord and staying on guard so that I don't slip back into the same old ways again, the same old sinful practices and so on. No, I'm going to stay where God wants me to be. Praise God. I'm going to hold on to the word of the Lord. Now, remember Paul writing to Timothy and commending the faith that was in his mother and in his grandmother and saying, that's the faith you grew up in. Even though he had a Greek father, his mother was a Jewess, and she passed the word of God on to him, and here he is now, the recipient of the mentoring that the Apostle Paul is doing with him as a young pastor, and two letters that he writes to him, and we rejoice that it's the word of God, and we follow it today. But 1 Timothy 4 and 16, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Amen. A lot of people want to do away with doctrine today. But the apostle is telling this young pastor, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. Got to be saved yourself in order to be able to tell somebody else how to be saved. You got to go through the battles and through the fight and through the washing and through the cleansing and all of this yourself and be able to instruct somebody else. Thank God we have the experiences in the Lord that help us to understand this is real, this is powerful, this is relevant, this is up to date, and this is enough to minister in our lives. Praise God. So we're getting washed in His Word. Amen. You open your Bible when you're praying? Sure, that's okay. Amen. Because there are promises that you want to pray. There's cleansing that you want to pray. That's a beautiful prayer that David prayed. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew in me a right spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Uphold me with your free spirit. Praise God. It's okay to pray the word of the Lord. Because that's the washing. Amen. That's the cleansing. That's the changing that God wants you to experience. Amen. Wash or die, that applies to the church today. We know how essential it is to share baptism in Jesus' name, not in an arrogant or argumentative way, but with a desire to persuade. And Paul said that I persuade men. I'm trying to convince them. I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to bring them to an understanding and a knowledge of this truth. Praise God. He wouldn't run around just bashing people upside the head with, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You're going to knock the bottom out of hell, bless God. No, he didn't approach it that way. He was very straightforward, certainly. But the essential aspects of the Word of God are important, and we have to share them with others. Thank God for a baptism. Thank God we can be cleansed. Thank God we can stay cleansed. Praise God. And have the power of the Lord. So we're praying, oh God, wash me. Oh God, cleanse me. Oh God, let your blood take every stain of sin away from me. Let your word wash me clean, Lord. Let me be a part of that glorious church. This is our prayer. Amen. And it's very personal. It's very one-on-one with God, you and the Lord. You're praying through this tabernacle. Amen. And everybody praying through the tabernacle is going to pray just a little bit different because you're you. You've got your experiences. I've got my experiences. I've got my stuff that I need to confess before God, and you've got yours. And thank God, the same God, however, is able to bring that cleansing and to make that change. Hallelujah. Amen. And thank God, it's not a ritual. It's not a ceremony. It's not rote. It's something that is powerful. And we understand how blessed and how wonderful all of this is. Praise God. And it's amazing how at times your time will almost be spent entirely at the altar and at the laver. Because you just feel that need. Oh, God. And then the praise begins to roll because you're feeling that touch. You're thanking Him again for His blood. Petition and praise go hand in hand. Amen. Let your request be made known unto God. And be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your request be made known. Philippians 4 and 6 combines the petition and praise. And thank God that's what we can do. So we're thanking God for His blood. We're thanking Him for His word. We're thanking Him for the cleansing and the washing. And we're praising Him. Praise God. And then we begin to pray for others. Then we begin to call upon God to save our loved ones. Oh, God, let them come to this washing. Oh, Lord, let them have the blood of Jesus applied to them so that their cleansing can be complete. Oh, God, move in their lives. Let them be open to the Word of God. Let them be willing to hear. Let them have that faith that comes by hearing. And that same passage in Romans 10 talks about faith coming by hearing. And he says, how can they hear without a preacher? And so we're praying, God, let somebody witness to them. Let somebody talk to them. Your loved ones, you know, that are in another town. And I suppose we can paraphrase, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they learn without a teacher? God, help me to share your word. God, help me to bring your word to somebody. Amen. And we pray that the Lord would anoint us, that the Lord would cleanse us so that we can step into the harvest. We can step into that realm of seeing the blessings of the Lord fall in someone else's life. And we're continuing to pray, oh God, let them be willing to obey. Let them be willing to be baptized. Let them be willing to wash lest they die. God, I pray that you would open their hearts. And you continue that prayer like that. Amen. You prayed for your situations. You prayed for your needs. You prayed to be washed. And only you know what the situations are there. And so you deal with that. Praise God. Just you and the Lord. And then you're praying for your loved ones. You're praying for your friends. You're praying for those that God has given you a burden for. And you're reaching out to them. God, let them be washed in your wonderful blood. Let them be washed in your wonderful word. Lord, let them be baptized in your precious name. Praise God. And you continue that prayer. Hallelujah. And pretty soon you're rejoicing again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. Praise God that the power of the word can be applied to us here in the labor. Let's have the picture of the labor up just one more time here as we show again that we approach it and our reflection is cast to us, and we recognize there's changes, Lord. There's situations, Lord. There's attitudes, and there's thinking, and there's doubts, and there's unbelief, and there's inactivity and disobedience. And Lord, please cleanse me. Lord, please change me. Lord, please help me. Praise God. And the washing of the water by the word is something that continues on. And the blood of Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, that precious blood. I'm thankful for the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. Where would we be if it was just our own abilities, our own thoughts, our own actions, our own goodness? It just wouldn't work. Thank God for His precious blood to wash us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Would you come and let's just stand in the presence of the Lord here for a few minutes as we consider how powerful and how wonderful His precious blood is. Amen. And I certainly encourage you, even though we're just getting started in this tabernacle plan for prayer, I think you can extend, I think you can apply what you know about the tabernacle, and certainly where we've gone so far, the altar and the labor, and you're getting closer to God, you're moving into His presence, you're stepping away from all of the aspects of life and not being overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, like Jesus said. And and we know, oh, I'm not being a glutton. I'm not being a drunkard. No, God. But there are spiritual applications that are there. Amen. Spiritual things that we've got to be aware of. Not overindulging in the things of this world. Not becoming indifferent and apathetic and acting foolish with things that are so important. Not being loaded down with all of the situations of life, because we know this world is going to pass away. This life is going to be gone. The eternal is what we've got to constantly keep in mind. And that's what I've got to keep my eyes on. So, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. Amen. And we move into this realm of thankfulness and the blessings of the Lord. We'll continue on here after the revival and look at more aspects of this praying through the tabernacle. But you know that the golden candlestick is in there. You know that the altar of incense is there. You know that the table of showbread is there. Just start praying of what you think that is going to mean in your walk with God. Amen. And oh my, that half hour of prayer a day is just going to pass so quickly. Hallelujah. But let's thank God for His cleansing. Let's thank God.